Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. Today we are talking words, and you've probably heard me say this many times. Words are hard, and I truly believe that, but I also believe that they are easier when we have some guidance from others who have gone before us, and that's exactly what you're going to get today. So last year, I was interviewed on my friend Meg Casewold's podcast, which is called The Social Slowdown, and it's a phenomenal podcast, so make sure to go over and listen to her and subscribe. It's a fantastic podcast, especially if you're looking to not be on social media quite so much for your business. So anyways, I was being interviewed by Meg, and as we were talking, she brought up my guest today, and she talked about how my guest has created this idea of a three-word rebellion. And as soon as I heard that phrase, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to learn more. So I purchased her book, I started listening to her podcast, and I was intrigued and really was really diving into this entire thing. So fast forward to today, and I get to share this concept with you from the actual creator. So my guest today is Dr. Michelle Mazur, and I love how she phrases this. She says that she works with brilliant business owners who are shaking things up but are having trouble talking about it. Gosh, doesn't that feel right? I know I have that same feeling, and I'm sure you do too. But what she does is she combines the tools of successful social movements and the qualitative research skills that she learned in her communications PhD to help you create a powerful, captivating message. She has authored three books, including the one I'm referencing today, which is The Three-Word Rebellion, and she's been featured in many magazines, and she knows that speaking about what you do in a clear and captivating way is the key to reaching people that you can help the most. So that's what we're digging into today, and it's going to be such a good one. I know you're going to love it. We talk about what the three-word rebellion is and how it came to be. And I'm excited to share that particular part of the conversation because so often we can look at someone who has a framework or whatever it is and think that they had this plan, they executed it flawlessly, but the reality is it's never that way. And Dr. Michelle shares how she created this framework and all the twists and turns along the way. So I really appreciate her honesty, and I know you will too. So get ready to be inspired by Dr. Michelle and ready to also uncover your very own three-word rebellion. Let's get to it. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Michelle Mazur. I am so excited to be talking to you today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Oh my gosh, me too. I've been diving into your book and taking like step by step. And I just love how you really encourage us to write in the book. You're like, use this book, like actually use this book. And it was introduced to me. We have to give the shout out to Meg Casebolt. So I was on her podcast and I was talking about being unapologetic. And she was like, oh my gosh, it's the three-word rebellion. Do you know what that is? And so I give all the credit to Meg because I went out and read your book. But before we dive into what that is, can you introduce yourself and tell us how you serve your clients?
Yeah. So I'm Dr. Michelle Mazur. I am the founder of Communication Rebel. I'm the author of The Three-Word Rebellion, and I'm all around like a messaging maestro. So I primarily work with experts who have developed all of this amazing, exquisite expertise, but also aren't the kind of people to sit around thinking about how to market themselves. So they often tend to be overlooked in favor of the flashy, like web celebs with the catchy marketing. And so my job is to translate their expertise into a message that moves people to wanting to work with them, and also into a marketing strategy that helps them do less but better, because I feel like in this industry, we over-market a lot. But I do all of that, or that all starts with my three-word rebellion process.
So fantastic. I love how you were able to share how you help people, like who you help, how you help, and it all comes back to this one thing of the three-word rebellion. Mm-hmm. So I promise we're going to dig into that. But I have a question before we even do. Yeah. You show up so authentic and unapologetically you. When I went to your website, when I look at your Instagram, when I listen to your podcast, when I read your book, you are so you in terms of like I felt before you and I even connected that I got a sense of your personality and you were confident in not a cocky way at all. Like I say that with the most appreciation for how you show up as possible of like, oh my gosh. And so my question is, have you always been that way or how did it happen?
No, I don't think I've always been that way. I really do think it's a process. I mean, for me, it's been about really owning my own expertise. Like I often tell a story about how I had this imaginary like nemesis in my head, and his name is Donald Miller of Building a Story Brand. And I honestly thought for years, because Donald Miller was out there and he kind of dominated the messaging world for a long time, and everybody's like, oh, you need help with your messaging? Read this book, that I couldn't compete with that. Somehow my work was less than. And it was through a lot of coaching work and just like personal development and really tapping in and owning like what I am particularly genius at. And for me, like Donald Miller's stuff is great if you are an accountant, but if you are doing something that is ideas driven and you need to express it and stand out and figure out like what makes you unique, like that is 100% my genius. And so when I started seeing that and seeing like how I was different and how we could both coexist, it really helped me start like owning what I'm great at and not apologizing for it.
Oh my gosh, there's so much in that. Oh, so much. Thank you for being so open about that, because it's interesting how like I met you after all of that. So I come in thinking she's just confident. She's good. She's always been that way. Whereas I really appreciate hearing like, no, I had to walk through the muddy waters too.
Yeah, no, I definitely walked through the muddy waters for quite a long time. And now I just feel very grounded and rooted in my power and the quality of the work that I do. So it's easier just to show up as myself, because I believe in what I'm saying and what I'm doing. So it makes advocating for my work so much easier.
Yeah. And I'm sure it brings in the clients that you're like, I love working with all of these people.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Brings in those people that are so fun to work with. So, and I really just want to call attention to that fact that you just brought up, because everyone listening often runs into that problem of like, but someone else is doing this. Mm-hmm. Why should I be doing this too? or can I do it? Or, and you said something so beautifully of we can coexist.
Yeah.
You know, there's multiple people who focus on messaging. So it's not just you, but you do it in a unique way for a unique mm-hmm. person, you know?
Yes.
So it was finding that, which I'm going to assume took some time as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. It's not like you wake up one day and you're like, yeah, this is like what makes me unique. And this is how I uniquely work with people. And, you know, developing a framework is a whole other thing too. But yeah, you don't just wake up. It does. Like I've been in business for what, 11 years now?
Oh, congrats. So that's awesome.
It does. It's a process.
Yeah. And I think we all fall prey to this at some point, I think, of looking at someone and thinking like, why can't I figure this out? Mm-hmm. And I think it's always important to remind ourselves, like it is a process. And I also believe that it's working with people and saying like, you know what, that didn't work out as well as mm-hmm. this other person did. Not that one person is better than the other, but we work with a certain person better than we work with other people. So how have you kind of navigated that?
Yeah, I mean, that is also a lot of trial and error. And you kind of have to kiss some frogs in order to find out like who you want to work with. Like, I really do feel like having some difficult clients is part of the process of building your business. So then you can find out like, oh, this needs to be a red flag that I shouldn't move forward. Or, oh, I really don't like working within this industry. Like this doesn't really interest me. So I'm going to stay away from it. So it is that process of really just doing the work and then figuring out like, oh, this is my right person. And then you can do the messaging work of like getting their language so you attract more of them with your marketing.
Right. And it does, I love that idea, or not the idea of it, but the saying of you got to kiss some frogs.
Yeah.
It's kind of like dating, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people really end up with the first person they dated? Not many.
No. And it's like with clients, like you don't know. And somebody can show up to a sales call and they present themselves really well. And you think, oh my gosh, this is going to be awesome. And then you get in and you're like, whoa, what is going on here?
I can see it. Like no one listening can see in your face, but I'm like, I can see that you've had these experiences.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yes.
But we all learn through that of like, yeah. That didn't work and here's why. So now I know what to look out for. We know the red flags once we've experienced them. Before that, you have to say yes and try.
Yeah. Yes. And you're like, you know, like I think this could be a great fit for my work and then see what happens.
Yeah. Like,
we do our due diligence, right? And make sure that the clients that we get are, you know, that we can help them and that they're the best fit, but it sometimes some slip through the cracks. it's less nowadays for me.
Right. And I would assume that it's less because your messaging is more targeted now.
Yes.
Meaning the three word rebellion, right?
Like, yes.
So how did you end up with this and take us on that journey of what that is?
Yeah. So to give you some context, the three-word rebellion is all about creating a one-of-a-kind message that really captures your right client's attention, makes them want to know more, kind of provokes that curiosity a bit, mm-hmm. and draws them into your world so that you can have a business that is bigger than you and really a movement. And how I developed this framework, it was back in 2016, I believe. And at the time I was working with speakers, you know, helping them create keynote speeches and speaker marketing. And I realized that I didn't love the speaking industry. They don't treat speakers well. They don't want to pay speakers for their expertise and their knowledge. And that always kind of ticked me off a bit. And I was also seeing how my clients were using the message that we would create for their keynote speech in other ways. Like I would see it in copy on their website, or they would create like a three-part training series around the speech we wrote, or, you know, I'd see it come across in the emails they were sending out. And I'm like, That's really interesting. Like, this work has a bigger impact. And during this time, there was like this, the huge influx of social movements in the United States. So things like Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement. And then I realized that there were also these entrepreneurs who were really famous and had really successful businesses, people like Mel Robbins and Simon Sinek and Tim Ferriss. And what these two groups had in common is they had this like succinct message, because Mel Robbins has the 5-second rule. Simon Sinek has start with why. And really that message was like planting a flag for people to come gather around, for people to talk about. And I'm like, well, that's a really interesting pattern that social movements do this, successful entrepreneurs do this. And I thought, I wonder if I took questions from social movements and then just let my clients like write on them, like just free write, like dump everything out of your brain, get it onto paper because we need to know what we're dealing with. Could I then analyze that using like my research skills, and could I come up with like a compelling 3-word, you know, not 2-5-word message?
Right.
So I started, like, my clients are always game for new things, which is great. So I was like, hey, I really want to test this. Would you be willing? And they're like, yes. And I found, I was like, oh, this actually is a great process for distilling what your core brand message is, that change you want to create, and that you can have other people rally around it. And that was really how the 3-word rebellion was born. And then from that, I was like, oh, now that you have these 3 words, because this was my journey with it. It's like, I came up with this through a conversation I had with a book coach named Jenny Nash, because I was telling her about this. And she was like, ooh, it's like the 3-word speech. And I was like, ooh, I really don't want to do speaking. And then I was noodling on it. And I'm like, wait, my brand is Communication Rebel. This would be the 3-word rebellion. And I'm like, that's it. And then what I realized is, like, once you have your 3 words, you've got to figure out how to talk about it to other human beings.
That's the hard part, for sure.
Yeah, because it's like, great, what's a 3-word rebellion? And if you're like, no, like, why should I care about one? How should I use it? Like, what problems does it solve for me? So I realized, like, for my clients, I had to help them figure all of that out. Otherwise, they would just have this, you know, 3-word thing that would be great for like naming their business or their podcast, their body of work. And then they wouldn't know what else to do with it. So that's really kind of my full journey into this, was just like, all right, now I have to explain this to people. And oh my gosh, my clients are going to have to do this too. So I better figure out how to create like a client journey for people so that they can actually express what this thing is.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Thank you for sharing the journey of that, because I think so often, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, of like, we see something farther down the road. Like, I see this book and all of your work and I think, oh, you had it figured out, right? I know that's not the case, but it's like our brains trick us into thinking, oh, they know all the answers.
Yeah.
Whereas you just shared the journey of like, well, I think I'm going to try this. I think I'm going to ask some people if they want to test it. Oh, shoot, that worked. Now what? Now I got to figure this out. And so everyone listening, if you're finding yourself not knowing what the heck's going on, like, you're in good company.
Yeah, I mean, and I remember like around the time when I was getting the idea for the 3-word rebellion, it felt like there was something outside of myself that was like wanting to kind of come through. And I didn't know what it was. It was just kind of like, I could kind of, it was weird. It was a very weird experience because I could kind of see it and I knew something was coming, but I didn't know what it would be. And then when that landed, I was like, oh, this is the thing.
Oh, that's an amazing like experience, and also like probably a little frustrating. Like, can you just tell me what's going on? Like, I want to know.
I know. And what I've realized is you just have to like go with the flow of that messy middle of not knowing when you're creating something new, because it's, there's always this point where you're like, I can't see this thing yet, but I know it wants to be something.
At the moment we're recording this, I'm having that moment of like with a certain thing in my business. Like I'm like, I don't know what to do with this piece of information, but it's here. Mm-hmm. I can't ignore it.
Yep.
Here I am. And it's very uncomfortable mm-hmm. to be open. It's like, it's very uncomfortable to not have a plan.
Yeah.
For a person like myself who loves a plan.
Yes, 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 yes.
Hey there, I'll keep this short and sweet and get you back to the episode very quickly, but I had to tell you about a free training I have on my website. I say it's a training, but it's really more of a motivational pep talk with some very actionable steps too. It's called Permission to Prosper, and I created this because I know that we as accidental entrepreneurs often need an external boost of confidence. When we sit behind a screen doubting our abilities and way too nervous to take action, we need support from someone else who believes in us. And my friend, I want to be that person for you. In Permission to Prosper, I give you the external confidence boost you're looking for, but I also share some very practical actions that you can take right away that will help you tap into your courage so that you can actually pursue your dreams. This is 100% free, and all you have to do is go to amandamckinney.com/pep talk to sign up and watch it immediately. I cannot wait to encourage you in this training. I'll see you there, but for now, let's jump back into the episode. So you came up with this three-word rebellion, mm-hmm. and I would bet everyone listening to this episode is like, how do I get there? How do I create mine? So first of all, I'm going to plug your book for you. So I want, okay. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. Like the link is in the show notes. Go buy the book. Because that is like, you've created this workbook, which I said at the beginning, like you even say to write in it. Mm-hmm. I just love that you really encourage me, the reader, to use the book not as just a reading tool. So that was a really interesting take too.
Yeah. Well, I realized that, I mean, I have this problem. Like I buy books, I read a lot. And, you know, there's always these great activities that the author wants you to do. And I always fly right by them to the next chapter, which means I'm not really getting full use of the book. So I wanted to, because I know that you can't get to your three-word rebellion if you don't do the work. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, you've got to write in this book, because otherwise you can't even get close to the result, because you can't think your way into a three-word rebellion. Like it's just not, we're way too up in our heads about our message most of the time. And right. It really doesn't come together until we can get it out of ourselves. So that's why I was like, you must write in this book. I know how people are. I know they won't do it, but you should do it.
I love it. I remember that we were on a car trip when I got your book and I took it with me. And I remember at this one spot that the first time you said like, write in this book, I was in the car and I was like, I'm going to get my pen. And like, I'm actually going to do this. And it was the first time I've ever probably written in a book. Like, I feel like it was like, maybe I have before, but I mean, I don't know if other people do this, but I think about like, I'll buy a book, but I might give it to someone at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I don't write in the books. I don't like highlight anything. I used to do it with textbooks. I'm sure they're all digital now, but you know, it was an interesting experience to actually like start doing that, which was really cool. But mm-hmm. before everyone, hopefully they buy your book and work through it. But are there tips that you can share today on the podcast of how someone might, even though we need to do the work and start writing, like how can we start thinking about doing the work?
Yeah. I mean, the first part of the work is actually super fun. And that is the like process of like, let's get your ideas out of your head and onto paper. So in the book, I give like six different writing prompts and I group them in two ways. So the first group of prompts are all about your, like, what are you rebelling against? In fact, that's one of the prompts, like just thinking about the things that tick you off, make you roll your eyes, the injustices that you see. And yeah, you should definitely, if you're using this book for your business, like do it for your business, but you can also, if it helps you, like in your flow, like look at other things that are going on in the world and include those too. Mm-hmm. So really it's like, yeah, so what is it that is ticking you off? And so that ends up being kind of the foil, the villain for the change that you want to create, which is the whole second set of free writing prompts. It's like, what kind of world do you want to live in? And then you get to be dreamy and not focus on the how. I think sometimes people don't want to put down what they really want in the world because they're like, I don't know how to make it happen. And I'm like, it is not important how to make it happen. It's really important that you put it down on paper. And sometimes it's like, what is that change you want for the world, your industry, for your clients, and just getting really clear on it and the impact that those changes have. So really that is the first step of just like, let's get it all out into paper and see what happens.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can imagine so many people will do this differently, right? I think about the ways that I work really well and how when I was thinking through your method and going through your book, something that really helped me was thinking about using post-it notes, like individual thoughts on post-it notes. And so I work really well with that. And then like, I would love, I don't know if you, if people share this with you, but do people send you pictures of like, oh, I wrote all this stuff down or I did it with post-its or like, do they share that with you?
Yeah. Sometimes I get to see that. Yes. And I mean, I know a lot of like, especially for my clients, if they're external processors, like it's easier for them to talk it out into like Otter and just have it transcribed and plop it into like their Google Doc. So there's lots of ways to approach it. Like you don't necessarily, like you could put all your post-it notes in the book, of course. And yeah, like post-it notes or using like something like Otter to record your ideas or just good old-fashioned sitting down and writing.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. So once you have all the things written down, then what do you do?
Yes. So that's when it can get a little trickier because now it's about trying to distill it into your three-word rebellion. And so this is a part of the book where you learn how to do a little bit of thematic analysis. And start, the first thing I recommend is to like walk away for a few days because it's better to do this work with fresh eyes when you're not attached to it. It's just like anything you write in your business. Like if you write like the first crappy draft and then you come back later, you see it with different eyes and you're like, oh, okay, this is what needs to change, or oh, this is really popping out to me. And that's kind of the same process. So you walk away and then you go back into the writing and you're starting to look for like, what are some of the themes? Like, what are the things that I'm saying over and over again that are really important to me? Are there any like interesting turns of phrases? Action verbs are super important for messaging. So pulling out some of those interesting action verbs. And then you can just start, you know, we want to create kind of like a word bank of ideas. And then you can start applying the creative constraints to it, which is basically in the book, I talk about that there are three different types of three-word rebellions. So there is the battle cry, which is kind of your start with why message. So it starts with a verb, has a strong action after it. Then there's also the one that's a little bit more abstract, but it's about naming your change or your change agent. So this would be like a three-word rebellion or a five-second rule. And then the final one is the declaration or mantra, where you're just like, everything is figure outable. Or one of my clients had question the drink, right? So it was, it's just this way to kind of give your clients and the people around you like a very affirmative statement to remember about the work they're doing or the change they're creating.
So good. I love this so much. I was, as soon as Meg told me about it, I was like, I got to check that out. And then I bought the book and read it and now like have listened to you on the podcast and connected with you. And it is just so powerful. I'm so thankful that you followed this journey to do this because I think it's going to help so many people and already has because messaging is freaking hard. Like I say, words are hard all the time.
Oh yeah. Yes, it is. And it's, and the thing I see, especially with my clients is you beat yourself up for it because you're like, I am the expert in what I do. Like, I know this work better than anyone else. Like, why can't I talk about it? Like, why does it feel so awkward to market it? And it's like, it's because you're the expert in what you do and you're way too close to your work. Yes. And you don't see it like somebody who's never experienced you before. And so it is really hard by yourself, especially to figure out like, okay, well, what is this work? Like, how do I express this so that people want to take action? Because experts tend to be in the weeds. We're like, this is how I do the thing. And isn't it amazing? And it's like, I don't want to be the expert. I want to benefit from your expertise.
Ooh, that's really good.
One a lot.
It's really good. Because it's so true. We do beat ourselves up. I'm thinking of how many times I've thought this same thing. And like, I think, you know, as we were talking about, you experience new clients and you kind of get closer and closer every time of like, this is who I work best with. And you do that with your messaging. And so it's not like, correct me if you think something differently, but it's not like there's this final end destination of like, I've arrived. And I'll never have to touch my messaging again.
I know. No. I mean, I always tell my clients, you want to build the foundation and then tweak and evolve because you change and your clients change. Like I've noticed like the things my clients came to me like, you know, 2 years ago during or 3 years ago during the pandemic are very different than what people are coming to me with now. Like their problems are more like more concrete. Like I want to do this big thing, but I don't have an audience to sell it to. Like,
right.
I don't know how to market this because I don't know how to talk about it. And I'm like, oh, that's a very concrete problem versus like, I want to write a book or have a TED talk.
Right.
You know, less aspirational and more like, okay, let's solve this very concrete problem so that I can move my business forward. So we have to, so we're always tweaking and evolving our message. And even if you think about someone like Simon Sinek, he does not do very much with Start With Why anymore. He's on to other things, but that message and that work still lives on in his company through other people, through, you know, just the zeitgeist of the culture. People talk about it all the time. And some of them don't even know it's him.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I've heard that. Like, who said that Start With Why thing? I hear it all the time. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, but, that's so interesting. But they know the three words. Like, I feel like that's so powerful about what you've hit on. You know, we know those words because we can remember them.
Yes. Yes.
We might not remember his name. I do. I think the work he does is pretty cool and how he shares it. But I can think about like, people remember like, oh, that quote, you know, that one thing. They'll remember a word or two, but they won't remember who said it.
No. But they'll remember like, the nugget of it.
Yeah. The three words, basically.
Yeah. The three words.
Right. Oh my gosh. But you're right. We can totally beat ourselves up for not getting it right. And I think also when we're changing, we can also see it as like, It was right at one point, and now it's not right anymore. And so that can feel like we failed, but we really didn't. It was right at one point. Like we just, things have shifted.
Yeah. And I always tell people to let go of getting it right because I feel like right is this, it can be very perfectionism driven. Like I just need to get my message right. But it's like, there's no right. There's just clearer, more persuasive, more compelling, more curiosity provoking, more compassionate and empathetic towards your clients. There's not just like this right destination. It's always growing and evolving. But it's like, if you can have a foundation, then you know how to grow and evolve it. And if like something had worked for a really long time and it doesn't work and you're like, what's going on with that? You know how to like tweak and evolve it and dive back in and kind of do that evolutionary work of messaging.
Right. Oh, I can just see your brain working of like how you do this. It's so fun. I know everyone can't see you, but it was really cool to watch that. You know, something that I've noticed lately, and I would love your take on this. I've noticed people will ask me, like, I'm not a messaging expert. I'm more of like, okay, you've got your message. Now here's the marketing tools. Here's the ideas of how to get it out and that sort of thing. And so I'll get asked about this a lot. And one of the tools that I have found very, very helpful is to go back and look at previous content. Now, because this has worked really well for me. And really, I didn't know about your work until I was told about it after I came up with The Unapologetic Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. That's when Meg said, oh my gosh, it's like the three-word rebellion. You've come up with this phrase. That's so like, how I ended up with it before knowing you, and now it's a little more like, oh, this is what I'm doing with this thing and how cool. It was looking back at my content. Mm. And I did a really big audit at one point of like, okay, I looked at my membership content, coaching calls, social media, emails. Yeah. And it was interesting to me how, sure, someone will ask me how to use Instagram Reels, or someone will ask me about email marketing. Someone will ask me about anything. But my dear friend, I will not let them get off the call or stop the recording without me saying, but it doesn't matter. If this doesn't work for you, find what works for you. Mm-hmm. Find what works for you. Understand that. And the tools, it doesn't matter what anyone else is using. It's like unapologetically use what works for you.
Yes.
What is success for you? So I kept coming back to this, and the word unapologetic came up in my content. Mm-hmm. And the whole, like that, I shouldn't say that. I had actually never used the word unapologetic until I heard it from one other person. It was a business coach of mine. But the words that I was saying, that's what I was describing. So mm-hmm. I was able to look at content. Have you ever done it that way?
Well, I mean, what I'm basically doing is getting your content out of you.
True.
Because I always tell people, like, your three-word rebellion already exists. It's in things that you've been saying over and over again. It's just probably buried and probably needs to be packaged up and shined up a little bit.
Right.
Because I have found, like, when I've worked with clients, I have found three-word rebellions in all kinds of places, like footers of their website, for instance, or... I was listening to a client's video, and I was just like, she just said something off the cuff, and I was like, wait, like, hold the phone, that's really good, like, let me write that down, because since we're so close to our work, like, we don't know what we don't know what we're saying.
Right, it's true.
That could be impactful to another person, that could resonate and make people be like, oh, that's interesting, like, tell me more about it. So yeah, it really does. I mean, it kind of incorporates
that
process of just like, let's get it out, or let's look at some of the content you have. Because I always let clients like submit like three pieces of content to me, because every once in a while I'm going through it and I'm like, oh, that could be something.
Right.
Or, ooh, that might be something. Like, let's make sure we explore these things, because that might be the lead into your message. Mm-hmm. And I think the funniest experience I ever had with it was, I was working with a client. She came up with her three-word rebellion. And then like a week later, she emails me this PDF that she created, I don't know, like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it had her three-word rebellion as the title and like big bold letters. And she's like, you're right, it does always exist.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's so cool. But even then, like, I think about that, and she could say like, dang it, I had this so many years ago, but she needed someone else to see it and to say, this is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see it and talk to her about why it would be valuable for other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps you, because one of the things I've been thinking a lot about is that you have to really own your message, like be unapologetic about it, because you're going to be saying it a whole lot.
Right.
So it was just like, I think back, you know, 2 years ago when she created that thing, like she wasn't at that place where she could like just own it yet. And then she's working with me and I point the same thing out and she's like, oh, this was something, like, I'm going to like completely own this message.
I can see how that would happen. Like, I think about Amanda in 2017 who started her business. She was not so unapologetic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I couldn't have owned that message.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully in 5 more years, I'm even more, you know, it's like, that's just going to happen. But I totally agree that like sometimes you need someone else to point it out and you need someone else to believe in you so that you can own that and have that confidence. Because the confidence is already there. We just have to uncover it. And sometimes it helps to have someone else dig it out.
Yes, yes. Because it's hard for us to do it on our own. Like I even struggle. Like I wouldn't have come up with the three-word rebellion phrase if it wasn't for that conversation with Jenny Nash. She was like, ooh, three-word speech. And I was like,
right,
that's partially good, but not quite there.
Right.
But that got me on the right path to like dig this out.
Mm. Gosh, we need our people.
We
need
do.
Our people. Whoever that is for us, it's like we need those mirrors to help us navigate this crazy, twisty, turny road of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, we really do.
We do. Well, I know everyone's going to be dying to know more from you. So I'll make sure to have all the links in the show notes. But where can people find out more about you and how they could work with you?
Yeah. So everything lives at drmichellemazur.com. More info about the book, how I work with people. And if you want to connect with me, LinkedIn is actually now the best place to do that. And I am Dr. Michelle Mazur on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. I'm glad you said that. I'll have to go and connect with you on there. I can't remember if we're connected already or not, but I am getting it more into LinkedIn too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I am finding it... just more engaging and interactive and thoughtful than others. I don't really even consider it a social media platform. It's more like a networking platform. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you are an expert, that's where other experts hang out.
Good last minute tip there. So we'll all go connect with you on LinkedIn and all the things. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So now it's time to craft your very own three-word rebellion. I know you're inspired from Dr. Michelle, as I was, and I am excited for you to get started on this journey. So of course, you can give it a shot after listening to this podcast, or maybe you head on over to her podcast and listen to some more details on this process and give it a shot on your own. But you can also purchase her book, and it makes it so easy. Like we talked about at the beginning, you get to write in the book. She really encourages you to do that, which is really fun. It's a beautiful book as well, so you will not be disappointed. You can find her book, which is called The Three-Word Rebellion, on Amazon, Bookshop, and other places that books are sold. But I want you to really take this in and figure out what is your three-word rebellion, because this will help you talk about what you do in a very clear way. And remember that it's a process. This isn't going to happen overnight. You're not going to have the three-word rebellion right away, and it's okay if it changes over time and takes time to get there. But remember to give yourself the time and the space to make it happen, and go ahead, go find your three-word rebellion and then make communicating your message even clearer. So until next time, give yourself permission to rebel and lots of grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.